From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
How do you work with a close friend, a family member, or a spouse? It's a really challenging thing because, you know, you have this existing relationship and now you're going to add work to it, and work comes with all of these other rules and expectations and instabilities, and you want one to work and the other to work, relationships, I mean, and you don't want one to impact the other, and yet you want the strengths of both, and it's just a crazy thing. And to explain how to do this, I'm going to do something I've never done before on this show. For one, I am recording this episode in my apartment. And two, I have somebody with me.
Hi, Jason.
Hi.
Hi.
Why don't you say who you are?
I am Jen Miller. I am your wife.
You are.
We're married.
Hey.
Hey.
How about that? Jen and I wrote a novel together, and it comes out October 16th. Which is right around when this episode is airing. It's called Mr. Nice Guy. It's a romantic comedy. It's about two people who each week sleep together and then critically review each other's performance in a magazine. And we spent, how long did we spend on this?
Maybe 3 years.
3 years of working together on a really personal,
intimate
project. And it's gone well so far. We sold it. We sold all sorts of rights, and there's all sorts of exciting things happening with the book. But boy, it was also not easy. And so on this episode of Problem Solvers, Jen and I are going to talk through how we made it work. Because really the number one thing that I think either of us hear when we tell someone that we wrote a novel with our spouse is, and you're still married?
But I'm changed.
But they do really say that. And I think that they are genuinely surprised because this stuff is not easy. But we are going to talk about our experiences, and also I commissioned for Entrepreneur Magazine a survey with a SurveyMonkey audience of 1,007 people about working together with close friends, family members, and spouses. The results were super, super interesting, and they also parallel quite a lot of our experiences. So we are going to get into how we and everyone else makes this kind of relationship work right after the break.
Payroll and benefits are hard, especially for small businesses. I mean, who has the time to be an expert in things like taxes and regulations? Nobody running a small business, that's who. And old school payroll providers just aren't built for the way you work today. But Gusto is. It's making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small business. In fact, 9 out of 10 users say Gusto is easier to use than other payroll solutions, and 4 out of 5 customers actually reduce payroll errors after switching to Gusto. If you want to see what people are saying, Gusto says to just Google the company. That's how confident they are that you'll see people singing their praises. You don't get that with most payroll providers. Most small businesses don't have an HR expert, but you don't need one to use Gusto. With great software and great service, you can focus on your business, not payroll and paperwork. To help support this show, Gusto is offering you, our listeners, an exclusive limited-time deal. Sign up today and get 3 free months once you run your first payroll. Just go to gusto.com/problem solvers. That's gusto, gusto.com/problem solvers.
And now our second sponsor.
Even entrepreneurs need to take a break, right? Right. And for me, whenever I can carve out a little time, I like to watch sports, especially the Miami Heat, because I was with them before LeBron and I'm still there after. I've even put money down occasionally, but I've always lost. Think you can do better? That's what my bookie is for. You go, lay down some cash, and win right on the spot. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for fantasy players, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. And the range of games you can bet on are awesomely wide. You've got the NBA and NFL and all that, of course, but also cricket, international baseball, Aussie rules football. Have you ever seen Aussie rules football? It is amazing. It is chaos. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Here's how to do it. Visit MyBookie today. Then when you're creating your account, use the promo code SOLVERS to activate the offer. Again, that's MyBookie, MyBookie, and use the promo code SOLVERS to get a dollar-for-dollar match on your deposit. MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid.
All right, we're back. So we are still sitting here in our kitchen. So let's just remind, Jen, you and I wrote Mr. Nice Guy, a romantic comedy novel. It took us about 3-4 years. And we had to figure it out along the way how this was going to work. And we're going to, in this episode, break out how we did this into three sections that were based on the results of the survey that we did with SurveyMonkey audience of 1,000 people. And we asked them, so I should say that it was really, really interesting. 87% of people said that they had worked with a close friend, family member, or spouse, which is way more than I expected. And also 78% of them said it was a good experience.
I was shocked by that.
I was shocked about that too. Because people, were you shocked about that because of the reaction that we usually get, that people think that this is a scary, terrible thing that you can do, or just because you assume that most of these relationships don't work?
I mean, it's really hard to work professionally. I would think it'd be really hard to work professionally with somebody that you're in a romantic relationship with, because if you don't agree with the other person, it's not just the professional endeavor that's at stake. It's not like you can just compartmentalize so easily and keep that disappointment or that disagreement out of the relationship. Like, that's going to filter, I would think, that would filter into the relationship. So I would think that this type of collaboration would just blow up relationships left and right.
Right. And do you think, before we dive into how we made this work, what grade would you give our collaboration? I don't mean the final product. I mean the literal experience of the collaboration.
I mean, I would give us a pretty high grade. I would give us, I don't know, an A minus.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Uh-huh. Yeah, there were some hiccups, but we did great. Well, first of all, we made it work and we're still married. So those are the two that matter most. But also, I think that when we ran into disagreements, we found a solution to them, which was, I think, the most important, right? I mean, like, sometimes in work relationships, you can feel like, you know what? This doesn't need to be solved. I'll eventually leave the company, or this person will leave the company. I mean, I've had relationships with coworkers go sour, and literally what I thought was, well, at some point one of us is going to leave the company, so this doesn't really matter. But you can't do that if you're married.
Right.
You have to
keep the larger goal in mind. And I think also what's really important just in the macro is to keep in mind that when you're working, whether it's creating, writing a book or, you know, some kind of entrepreneurial activity, that you are ultimately working toward mutual success.
Yes.
You're working toward the same goal.
Right.
And there's going to be some compromise that's required. And trust me, there was plenty of compromise that we had to go through. But I think, you know, I often found myself having to like take a step back and consciously think, okay, what's at stake here? And if I give a little bit on this, or I think about this a new way, what am I going to be able to achieve with Jason? How am I going to be able to get this book to the finish line in a way that we both feel good about? Because that's really the goal.
Right. That's a really great way of thinking about it. Okay, let's get into the survey results. The number one thing that our 1,000 people surveyed said made a relationship, a work relationship, work with somebody who they are personally very close to is establishing clearly defined roles and responsibilities. That is number one.
And that's why we were successful.
Yeah.
100%. And that actually, I think, you know, we divided up the work from the very beginning. We had clear expectations about who was going to do what. So we knew that I was going to write the bulk of the book, and we knew that you were going to write all of the columns.
Right, because the characters, we have these two characters, and they're columnists, and all of the columns that the characters write are in the book. But, oh, and we should also say, but the foundation of all that is that we plotted the entire thing out together. So we had jointly produced the idea and the skeleton
plot
of it. Right.
The character, like kind of who the characters were, what their kind of character trajectory would be. We spent dinners, vacations. long car rides.
Right. But it was, you know, it's interesting. I think one of the major questions people have when you say establish clearly defines roles and responsibilities is, well, okay, who takes what? And I mean, in a way, we naturally just divided it up based on our strengths. Do you think that some of those roles and responsibilities, however, evolved along the way? Or do you think that we had a really good sense at the outset of who would do what and how it would work out?
Well, I knew at the outset that you would do a better job writing these columns than I would. And I knew at the outset that you were nervous about writing the plot elements of the book. So that kind of worked out really well. I think as we went along, what we discovered was that you tried your hand at writing some scenes and you did it very well. And I edited all the columns. And so I was able to put my mark on those as well and kind of get in there in a way that I wasn't sure I'd be able to. But so we were each able to kind of enhance what the other person was doing. But we definitely knew from the beginning what our strengths were.
Right. And it was very important. I mean, we just happened to be fortunate, I suppose, in that we wanted to do this together. There are only two people in this marriage, and we both have skills that are complementary, right? Because it's not just a matter of finding someone who you're close to and building a work partnership with them. It's also finding someone whose skills are skills that you don't have and whose absent skills are things that you do have, right? So you need to be able to kind of lock in like a puzzle with them and then build on those two strengths together. And I think that we kind of naturally found those places where we did. And then the one thing that we both can do, of course, is read someone else's work and improve it. And so then we did that for each other. All right, let's go on to number two. Number two is allowing for constructive criticism. Now, this is very tricky.
That's the tricky part.
Yeah, especially, well, I don't know if I should say especially, but for a creative project where this isn't just, we're not looking at hard numbers here. We're looking at ideas and execution based on talent. And that makes feedback very tricky.
Right, because you don't want to kind of bulldoze over the other person, especially when you're writing stuff that's kind of coming, I don't want to be too cheesy about it, right? But you know, we're it's fiction. We're kind of writing based on our imaginations and based on our emotions to a certain extent. And that feels very personal when you're actually putting it on the page. So to have somebody come along and say, I don't like this. This isn't any good. That can be really hurtful. So, you know, I think we were very careful to think about editing each other, always through the lens of what are we trying to achieve jointly.
Right.
And in the moment, if we were working on a scene, like, what do we want this scene to accomplish? So it's not about the work that I put in or the work that you put in. It's about what is our joint vision for this scene? Okay, we agree on that joint vision. That, I guess, itself takes,
some time. Right.
That takes some time. But once you get to that joint vision, then how are we going to edit or revise this work to make that vision happen?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's real. Yeah. And that was, let me ask you this. I don't know that I've asked you this, so it'd be good to ask you right on mic. Did I ever do a poor job of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that there were certain plot points in the book that you weren't so sure about.
Yeah.
And I felt pretty strongly about. And you were like, I think we need to sideline this or nix this. And
I didn't communicate it through the lens of this is what it, or I didn't do a good job of.
I mean, you weren't an asshole about it.
Right.
But, but yeah, I mean, it, like, you presented what you thought and I thought about it. And decided, I legitimately don't agree with this. And let me tell you why, X, Y, and Z. And then I guess we hashed it out. So I guess maybe it's, you know, neither of us ever dismissed anything offhand.
Yeah.
And I think that when you're giving feedback, like, that's what's really important.
Right. It's interesting, though, that even that you kind of had some emotional marker in like that you pulled up there. We worked through it, but the reality is that if you're going to work together with somebody, you are going to create moments where both people are not necessarily happy, right?
Like
it's not possible to go through it without, hitting tension points. And so then it really is like, I'm just looking at the survey. The language was allowing for constructive criticism, right? Like there's going to be criticism. What you need to do is allow for it to be constructive, to like step back and think, how can I create a better outcome out of this moment? And I definitely remember having to remind myself of that at times where, I should say, usually I record this in a very quiet studio room, but because we are in our living room, you're picking up all sorts of noises. There's some fire department thing and there was an airplane earlier. This is, we're recording
Brooklyn.
We're in Brooklyn. So apologies for the noise. But right. I really had to catch myself and think, you know what? What doesn't matter here is like getting your way. What matters is like making it work for the collective vision of the two people involved in this project.
Right. And I think there's also something to say about once you have outlined the defined roles, going back to that, it's important to respect the roles that you have defined. So it's not to say that because I was writing the majority of the narrative that anything that I wanted to do with the narrative went, right? But I think in part, like, you know, because I kind of had this sense of like where things were going and that I'm really in the meat of it, like I think ultimately like you understood that certain things, like I just really had a sense of like where I was going. And same thing with the columns. Like there were certain things that I wasn't sure about, and you made your point about, you know, like why a character should say this or that. And I respected that because that was what you were taking care of.
Right, right. It's almost like, you know, at some point somebody needs to be deferred to as the kind of leader. Like I've talked to a lot of people at companies and you know, sometimes they'll start out with like two co-CEOs, but then generally one person becomes CEO and the other person becomes something else, the COO or whatever, because it's really, really hard to not have a singular person making a decision. At some point, somebody has to make the decision. And clearly what we did is within our defined roles and responsibilities, to go back to point number one, we kind of made each other like CEO of that role. You know, and so depending on the thing that we were talking about and the role that it played in the book, was who kind of ultimately got deferred to.
Right. And I'll actually give another a practical example that we are actually dealing with right now, which we are in the process of marketing the book,
right?
Of setting up the marketing. And I, had, you know, very like specific ideas of what good marketing meant and how and what needed to happen. And Jason had completely different ideas about what good marketing meant. And, but I, you know, I joke that Jason is the CMO of this company of two, and you really are. And so I, you know, I've really kind of come around and like, I'm now deferring to you and like actually getting really excited about all your marketing ideas for Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks. Right. That's right. Because of course, creating a book is not just about writing the book or selling the book to a publisher. It's about selling the book to the public.
Please buy our book. Mr. Nice Guy.
In bookstores now or almost now. So right. That is a big part of it. And that was in the way that a lot of the heavy, most of the heavy lifting for the narrative fell on you. Heavy lifting for the marketing is falling on me, which is goes back to roles and responsibilities.
Right. And both of those roles and responsibilities require a lot of creativity.
Yes.
Different forms of creativity.
Yes.
But trying to get the book out to, you know, all these different audiences, like that takes a lot of ingenuity and innovation.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh my God, we could do a whole other podcast about marketing books, which maybe we will do. Okay. Let's talk about number three, setting aside non-work time to spend together. Very important, very challenging.
Yes.
how I was going to ask you how you thought, well, I'll just ask you, how did we do with that?
Poorly.
Yes, we did. We did poorly. Let's explain what went wrong there. I'll tell you from my perspective. So from my perspective, and you know, just to kind of paint the picture. So, Jen is a full-time writer and works from home. And writes, you know, this is not her first book. This is your fourth book, right? Yeah, your fourth book. You do a lot of journalism. And so anyway, but you build books into your day. I do not have that ability because I'm at the office as a magazine editor. So I would often come home at the end of a long day at the magazine and my days can be really chaotic. And I walk in and I'm ready to just put my brain on a shelf. And you, meanwhile, have all of these questions and all these ideas from the book that you've been working on, and you've been waiting for me to get home so that we can talk them through because this is a partnership. And so you are like ready to go, and I am done. And that was definitely a recurring challenge for me.
Yes. And a recurring challenge for me on the flip side is that, you know, because Jason has a full-time job and, you know, has all of these other side projects, like, I needed him to step up and write certain portions of the book in order to move forward and get this thing sold because we get no money unless we sell it. And so, you know, that's a whole tricky thing in and of itself. And so, you know, oftentimes Jason would say, okay, I'll do it. And then he'd be doing a million other things. And I would get really frustrated because I would need him to move forward. And for whatever reason, he wouldn't or couldn't.
Yeah.
Usually couldn't.
Right.
Also, and I'm sure this is something that, you know, your listeners experience a lot too, you know, especially when you're an entrepreneur, like you do not leave your work at the office. Your work is 24/7. And often that's a great thing. Like you kind of love being immersed in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we kind of come from like in our situation, like we're always talking about the work that we're doing and we're always working. Like, and a lot of the time doesn't feel like a chore, but especially when you're working on something with a partner, I think it's really important to try to put that aside
right. And
do things that are not related to the work.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the ways that I found that made me feel better, and I hope you feel better, in those moments where I felt overwhelmed when I'd come home and you'd want to talk about the book and I'd be done, was to, one, kind of maybe get through whatever your main point was, right? Like, okay, well, let's talk about this one thing. I know you've got like 10 things on the list, but clearly one is like feels most pressing. So let's talk about that. And then would deliver two things at once, right? One was, I'm exhausted. I can't talk about this now. And two was, when we will be able to talk about it, right? So like, you know, I can't do this now, but like, let me get to it tomorrow morning. Like, I will get up an hour earlier and I'll deal with it tomorrow morning. Or, you know what, this weekend we don't have anything planned, so we'll set aside, you know, these hours and we'll do it then. And that way you knew that even though I'm not able to talk about it right now, that I'm not just putting it off indefinitely.
Right. You're still taking it seriously. You're building it in to your day.
Right. Which was, I think, I sensed that was a useful response for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you don't, I mean, when you have a partnership, the one thing that you really want to, you never want to make your partner in a romantic relationship, in a professional relationship, feel like you've left them hanging or you're not there for them, right? Like being there for them, like knowing that they've got your back, knowing that you can trust them to deliver, like that's really important,
yeah.
That kind of foundation. You can't do any major project with somebody that you're close to if you don't know that they're really in for the job, if you can't trust them.
Right.
And so having that reassurance really, really helps.
Yeah. You know, it's you saying that reminds me, God, this goes back so many years. I got interviewed once by this woman who had a little media company in New York. I don't even remember its name anymore. And she was running it with her husband. And I met her and she interviewed me for whatever it was. And it was, it just seemed like a cool project and she seemed cool. And we were like, oh, let's, we should get together with our significant others. And, And then that never happened. And I think I followed up with her once and I didn't hear from her. And like 2 or 3 years later, I got an email from her apologizing for not getting back to me and explaining that there had actually been a lot of tension in her company because she was really into the company and her husband was not pulling his weight on it. And it just wasn't as much of a priority. And it became a really fraying thing in their marriage. And they almost got divorced and they went to marriage counseling. And ultimately they put the business aside, and I'm Facebook friends with her. So I see they have a kid now. Everything seems to be fine, right? But what didn't survive was the business, because the two of them were not in it at the same level, and therefore it wasn't going to work. There was resentment clearly building, right? If the two of you are not doing it together at the levels that are expected, then there's resentment, and you're not enjoying the time you spend on the project, and you're not enjoying the time you don't spend on the project. And that can be really dangerous. Absolutely. So what we've gone through three, you know, I'm just going to say the other results, which we don't have to dive into too deep, but in order of this is in order of number of people who said that this was important to them. The rest was respecting confidentiality, which I don't know how relevant that was to us. Not making any exceptions to rules. It's very interesting. I guess because you don't want to, that's probably if you're more in a company and you're working with somebody, respecting financial arrangements, and establishing a process for an exit. Those are all more, I think, kind of, really startup-y specific.
Well, we have, established a process for our own exit.
We have.
it doesn't involve selling to another company for millions of dollars, but our experience working together has a finite deadline. It has an end.
That's right.
The book will be published. We will do our, you know, whatever marketing and publicity we're going to do. And then we have scattered to the winds.
Right. That's true. You know, people often ask me, what's the goal of the book? Right. Cause it's like, it's funny, you know, when you're with literary people, having written the book is the goal. But when you're with entrepreneurs, the book is like this object, and then the goal is something else, right? So I have come to say that the goal is to sell enough copies that we create a new line of business, and that new line of business is you and I writing romantic comedies together.
Right, and we have another one that we have started working on.
Right. So we sort of see this as a business, but you're right that it has, this project had an endpoint, which is really important. Like, I don't know, you know, we're both really busy and we do different things, and I don't know if it would have made sense. It would have felt too exhausting. And also it would have changed the nature of our relationship to create something that was indefinite. And that wasn't both our primary thing, right? Like, if we wanted to go into business together and that was the primary thing, I could see us both committing 100% to it. But as a side hustle, I think it's really valuable to have some moment built in. If you're not doing a novel where there literally is an endpoint, you finish the novel, you sell the novel, that's the project. Some moment where there is a natural marker, a natural moment to step back and say, okay, how are we doing? Is this worth continuing? Is this a success? And if it's not, then no hard feelings. Let's just walk away from it, or, you know, whatever it is. Like,
or are we still happy doing it together? Even if we haven't met the goal that we set out to meet, like, do we both want to keep working toward that goal?
That's right. Well, this has been so fun doing an episode with you in our kitchen.
I know.
This is the fun stuff that you do when you get to work with somebody you're close with, is that you go through all sorts of experiences with them, which are new and fun. So, let's say once again, the book is called Mr. Nice Guy. It is a romantic comedy. It is about two people who each week sleep together and then critically review each other's performance in a magazine. If you love The Bachelor or just a fun, you know, if you love fun, this is the book for you. And hey, I'm going to offer you something for if you buy the book, and also for being so kind as to listen to the end of this special episode, which is that if you by Mr. Nice Guy. And I have to say, if you live in the United States, because of postage rates for what I'm about to say, if you want to email me, jfeifer@entrepreneur.com, jfeifer@entrepreneur.com, with some confirmation that you ordered the book, I will hook you up with a free subscription to Entrepreneur Magazine, courtesy of me.
That's awesome, Jason.
I will buy you one. I know, yeah. Right? Pretty nice. He's a nice guy right here.
Really nice guy.
What a Mr. Nice Guy.
Okay, guys, got to break the bank here.
All right. Well, Jen, it's been great working with you.
It's been great working with you, Jason.
Buy the book.
And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonpfeiffer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Pfeiffer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonpfeiffer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.